Hey, bitch, let me tell you something. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and an incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code READ, that's READ, for you bitches that can't spell, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Now let's start the show. When Reginald was home with flu, the doctor knew just what to do. You know it. He cured the infection with one small injection. Then Reginald shouted some interjections. Yikes! That smarts! Damn!
I forgot that song.
Shit!
It wasn't all that.
Fuck! That's no fair, giving a guy a shot down there. Interjections show excitement or emotion. They're generally set apart from a sentence by an exclamation point or by a comma when the feeling's not as strong.
Thanks for that grammar lesson today, friend.
You know, just for, you know, before they remake Schoolhouse Rock, because it's inevitable.
Yeah, I used to love them fucking shows. Was it a show or was it like, it just seemed like you only ever saw it at school. It was like tapes.
Oh, I had the tapes at home.
Yeah, but I just don't remember how it started, but I loved that shit. I thought it was so
fun. Schoolhouse Rock was just great.
It was
Geraldine
everything.
And her hoe ass. Interjections was my favorite song. You know, I also enjoyed the Bill record.
I'd like Conjunction Junction.
Of course, the classic Conjunction Junction.
What, Jim,
I know they're going to remake that shit and they're going to put it like on Netflix or something.
And they're going to give it like a fucking
Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson are going to be singing on there and shit. And I just.
Or they're going to do like Kids Bop and try to set it to a trap house beat or some shit. And you're just going to be like, oh girl, stop this, Erica Campbell. Don't do this no more, girl.
Bitch, you guessed
it! God damn it! I fucking hate you.
No, you can't quit the show. Come back. Come back right now. Professionalism. Right now. God damn it. How dare you? Beast. How dare
Beast.
You? How dare you?
You made me throw my fucking headphones across the room.
Well, I figured the only way for me to like enjoy Bitch You Guessed It is if you just never see it coming.
Okay, well.
So Black Excellence this week is
fuck you, buddy. Like, what the fuck? You are so pleased with yourself, too. Look at you. Just so happy. Just can't even get it out. Who's the fucking Black Excellence? Okay. Shit.
So, Black Excellence this week is actually someone I'm a really big fan of. Her name is Amanda Stenberg. She's 16 years old. And you may know her as the girl who played young Colombiana. And she also played Rue in the movie The Hunger Games. And
I'm
sure she's been in a couple of things. So she did a project for her history class recently on cultural appropriation. This girl is 16 years old. When I tell you that I got a little choked up. Because, you know, I'm very passionate about young people, especially people of color, but all of them, at least having a decent understanding of what's going on in terms of racism, culture, and those kinds of things. And so the video is actually like, it's a few minutes long. I think it's something that she did with one of her classmates. And it's like amazing. She goes into all of these discussions about hip hop and how it was born from jazz. And, you know, she just hits all of these different marks, especially about like black hair and why black people wear the hair, their hair in certain styles. And it was just awesome. But I liked this part. I just want to read some of it.
Okay.
It says, she said, appropriation occurs when a style leads to racist generalizations or stereotypes where it originated, but it is deemed as high fashion, cool, or funny when the privileged take it for themselves. Hip-hop stems from black struggle. It stems from jazz and blues, styles of music African-Americans created to retain humanity in the face of adversity. On a smaller scale, but in a similar vein, braids and cornrows are not merely stylistic. They're necessary to keep black hair neat. I feel like whoever wrote this put it out
say,
of
how
order
old
in
is
the
she?
Video. She's 16.
Wow, this sounds well-written.
Well, it's not, like, this is something, it's like a video, she's talking to the camera, but then it has, like, lots of little things that pan in. She uses clips from different interviews and stuff. But anyway, it's called Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows, and I thought it was amazing. And
I love that title.
You can go, I think the Huffington Post posted it, but it's like on her Tumblr and all kinds of stuff. Just look it up, you'll find it. I thought it was amazing. It's a very, very impressive video. And I was also pleased because she played Rune Hunger Games, and I don't remember if the Hunger Games is older than this show, but I know that I gave the internet hell that day that all of those little white kids came back from seeing the Hunger Games talking about why was Rue a black girl. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't need to redo this, but I was like, I remember being shocked that they cast such a light-skinned girl. Okay. Because in the book, I thought it would have been like a Marseille Martin, like Diane from Blackish. I thought it was going to be like a little brown girl, because that's how they were described in the book that I read anyway. And low-key, they all like picked cotton, and then like one of them got shot by a cop. Like, that book was a little shady. But okay. Either way,
all right.
Amandla, very, you know, impressive, definitely touched my heart. If you haven't seen this video yet, I urge you to go watch it. And so now for Bitch You Guessed It.
Wait, did you hear about the, I think last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we talked about the black guy, the teenager who got accepted to all 8 Ivy League schools. There's a girl in Minnesota, who just got accepted to all 8 too. Her name is Manira Khalif, and she lives in Minnesota and said she was very surprised and this was a blessing from God. And of course, she's an official bad bitch now and Somalian. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Manira, on getting accepted to all of the Ivy League schools. That is just so dope. That,
you know, I can't talk about them too much, though, because then, you know, the white people get upset and then the think pieces come out. And it's just like, oh, my God. Black people have education. Everyone come down.
Don't do this.
So
where are we? What is this that we're calling it now? Have you come up with a different name, or are you going to stick with the one that you...
I think that I'm just probably going to have to create some kind of like a really ratchet Bitch You Guessed It soundbite, so that I don't have to do it every single week and we can just throw it in there. Because I have to find new ways to keep it, you know.
To keep terrorizing me, or...
Well, yes. All right. But also, you know, keeping it fresh or whatever.
All right. If you say so.
So, let's just start with some good news, I guess.
Okay.
Miss Tina is recently married again.
Yay! Oh my God. That was just so... her pictures.
Boo of... I don't know. How many years they've been dating?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know. They've been dating for a little while. But I didn't know that she knew this man. His name's Richard Lawson, and he's like a big actor and was on a ton of soaps and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
But they've known each other for like 30 some odd years, which I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
I guess she had, like, she went to a conference or something. I read like a transcript recently. Mm-hmm. Where she was talking about how she met him and she's known him for so long. And his sister was one of her great friends. She was actually the woman that passed away.
Oh, like her, that Beyonce did the Heaven song.
Right.
About.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's sweet.
So.
Oh.
Yes. Love it.
That makes me like the story even more. I'm so happy for Miss Tina. Like, she left that raggedy ass man and got herself right on together. Like, she looks good.
Queen of bad bitches. And
she got her a good man. Bianca Lawson is her new stepdaughter.
Hold on. So, can we just...
Can you think of anything more perfect, honestly, than Bianca, Beyonce, and Solange being, like,
I just want
sisterly.
To...
Bitch.
To stop right goddamn there. The fact that... Now, I know that you are not going to be able to touch and agree with me on this one, but Kendra from Buffy the fucking Vampire Slayer is Beyonce's sister. Like...
Yeah.
Life for and big sister and still out here playing like
right
16-year-old
36
Bianca Lawson is sickening.
She is gorgeous. Like, how does she not age? Like, girl, well, how have you looked the same literally since 1991? It boggles the mind.
You can Google
mind.
Her and there are all kinds of like charts and like X-Files things with her face on it where people are like trying to, like, this is some supernatural shit,
right?
Because this woman doesn't age. She's mm-hmm. like beautiful, and now she's Ivy's auntie. Like, right. This is everything.
You wouldn't be able to tell me a goddamn thing. Her Wikipedia, or I think maybe her daddy's Wikipedia, one or the other, had already been updated like by that night that got married to be like, oh,
Google.
Stepsisters, Beyonce and Solange. Like, girl, don't make sure you include my family.
I literally Googled her name today, and right there on the front of Google, like, siblings. Beyonce, Solange.
Yes. Oh, my God. I think it said
Kelly Rowland.
Angie.
She's like everyone.
All of
just
them.
Just all related.
Welcome
and I would soak that shit right
I
on
I would,
that.
Too. You would not be able to stop me, bitch. I would have had all them selfies on Instagram of the wedding and shit. Like, yes, me and my new sister's hoe, and you bitches is mad about it.
I would be at the drive through like, extra goddamn ranch. Beyonce is my sister.
Do I need to call my sister? Because y'all, it's stingy with
the ranch. She can never even speak to me. I could literally have seen Beyonce at the wedding, and that would be the last time I seen my stepsister mm-hmm. in my life. And I would die knowing Beyonce.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I would still go around telling everybody, like, do you know who my sister is? Like, don't make me call her.
Like, Daddy, don't fuck this up for me.
I'm happy for Miss Tina, though. Congratulations.
She's amazing. So,
meanwhile, Matthew out here trying desperately to get y'all to buy Destiny's Child shit.
Trying I said so hard. Let me just. Anyway, I'm not gonna go there.
Woo, that's what happens. You can't fuck with them Creole.
Ain't man. Shit day was last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
it was.
I'm gonna save like the really dark jokes for another time.
Well, I don't think you were that bad last week. If you want to be worse now, I think you should go for it.
Because I was gonna say is that Bianca is clearly.
Don't. Okay. See, you're right. You just move right on to the next because you don't know how to act. What else happened? I'm so over y'all.
So, let's see if you can identify any of these people.
Okay.
Young Thug.
Nope.
Alrighty. Well, Young Thug.
Is that the really ugly one?
Really ugly is an understatement.
Okay, so it is the one I'm thinking of. Well, you see the one dark skin with like matted blonde hair?
Atrocious.
Is that the one though?
The word that you should have used.
But I got it right.
God damn. Woo.
That nigga My is God. Hideous.
He looks like a stain.
Like God just put his face together in the dark and then saw it and was like, fuck it. Just go to Earth anyway. Like, how do you look like that? God
and then
damn.
Takes like extra like length. Yeah. I think that he like maybe low-key like really is impressed by Lil Wayne's career aesthetic and everything and mm-hmm. wants to be, because I feel like the way that I feel like Wayne has gone out of his way to be ugly,
yeah,
I think that Young Thug does as well. But I feel like Wayne, like if he didn't have, you know, a whole coloring book on his face, that he wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying?
Right, like, Wayne wasn't always like that. He degenerated into that filthy look that he has now.
Young Thug was fucked since he was a young thug.
I think that's a new trend now, though, to look as ugly as possible and act like you don't care about it. Lena Dunham has made millions being deliberately hideous, so why not, Young Thug, go for it? She loves being ugly. She, like, talks, brags about it. She doesn't care. It's like a feminist thing. I don't know. White girls. I don't know.
I thought that she just liked to be naked and it was just like, oh, look at my body that you don't want to see. Yeah. I'm a woman.
Yeah. I think she deliberately like tries to look as bad as possible so people will talk about her for it and watch her fuck ass show. Anyway, what did Young Thug do?
So his album or mixtape or whatever piece of work was supposed to be called The Carter Six. And this was very controversial.
Why?
Because
why would he call it that? Okay. All
I
right.
Literally, I am completely without a clue when it comes to the thought process behind that shit.
Okay.
I heard that it was supposed to be called the Carter Six for like some time because he signed to Cash Money. Like he's Rich Gang and he's underneath whatever Birdman's imprint is. And I guess he bought the piano for Keisha Cole to dance on.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know shit about
what?
Him. But he's like repping Cash Money till he dies. I don't know. And like the cover of the Carter Six is him. Google it. It is. Look it up right now.
Fine, fine. But I know I'm going to be disappointed in myself.
It is him.
For wasting
actually,
my day
I have this. To just wait for you to finish. So I'm like, I can't even tell you because then you won't find it.
I don't understand. I still want to know why he calls it the Carter Six. It just
well,
doesn't.
I heard that he like had planned to call it that for quite some time, like long before Lil Wayne and Birdman fell out.
In the. Please tell me this image of him in the cap and gown is not it.
No, that's not
okay,
it.
Okay, so which one is
I think that's a troll made
there. Okay, I was going to say, because the internet's lying to me then.
Even though Young Thug is essentially just trolling Wayne, because he knows Wayne and Birdman fell out over this whole, you know, Carter 5 album not coming out, and Sabrina Carter album, Carter 6, and do all of this bullshit. I don't know. And I also don't think that he's like an earthling or processing reality.
What? You know,
but when, I just don't believe that he's like here. Like, I don't think he's one of us.
Okay.
I feel like if the Man in Black were real, Young Thug would have to go into hiding. That's it. There it is. Right. Right there.
So is this Carter Six? So the one with him looking like a broke down black Jesus? Is this the one?
Not my Jesus.
No, I mean, clearly not. Jesus on coke. But this is it with him like pointing at his
red lights.
What is
he
this?
He is entirely nude, according to the photographer.
Okay.
And I just want to know who asked him for that.
But why is it called the fucking Carter Six? I can't get over that.
I don't know.
Who do you think you are?
Anyway, Wayne, I guess, sent his...
This is terrible.
Wayne sent his legal people after him.
Okay.
And I think Young Thug just yesterday or maybe the day before announced that he was changing the title from the Carter Six to the Barter Six.
The Barter Six. Like, these niggas is so...
Just leave us alone.
Girl, you can't think of something else that is completely unrelated to Wayne. Why are you biting off this nigga's shit? That's what I don't get. Like,
and why don't you just name it something in your native tongue, bitch? Because we don't... He doesn't even speak English. Like I ain't never understood what the fuck Young Thug was saying, but he want to fight over words. Like,
what's a Young Thug song? Don't make me look it up.
Stoner is like, I think Stoner might be his like breakout record.
Okay.
But I like a lot of Young Thug's like songs and features, although it's ratchet and it's kind of like impossible to understand. But I could take him or leave him. He's just like he's kind of like up there with like Migos and Ray Shremmerd and like
this new he's from wave
of like trashy trap ratchet music. So it's just like take it or leave it. He's trendy. But all of this dramatics is just fun for me.
Well, you should have known Lil Wayne was not gonna let no shit slide after him and Baby fell out and it became this whole big, you know,
50
I don't fuck with Cash Money no more.
Something million dollars.
Like, that is just
not letting it go.
50, my nigga. Like, and you know Birdman got it. It's just like, why can't y'all get y'all shit together? Why does this always happen?
Lovers quarrel.
Okay. I mean, they do make out.
Oh. Or did. Allegedly.
I mean, it looked like it, so I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you about it. I just don't, whoever Young Thug is, girl, I don't know, good luck, but it just doesn't seem to me like you're gonna get very far trying to bite off of whatever it is Wayne did or used to do.
So apparently
nobody cares.
Speaking of Wayne and his people, apparently Drake is wanted at Askman because they sent a Dementor out to suck his whole entire spirit.
I had to figure out what the fuck you were talking about. Azkaban, that sounds like some Harry Potter shit.
That's it, girl.
I haven't ever watched those movies.
The Dementors, right? Were these old, just.
No, I
know.
You
know, like how, like, when your fingers are pruny, that's how they look.
I think I've seen so many.
And they just floated above people and sucked the life force out of them.
Exactly like Madonna did to Drake on stage at that show. Like, literally the exact same thing. Because that shit looked disgusting. Like, I felt for Drake in that moment. My own stomach was turning. Like, I just don't even know how I would have reacted.
So, Coachella, right? Drake was one of the really big headliners this year. And for some reason or the next title, I don't know, Madonna was there.
Title.
And she came and like performed
it
some
was
shit.
Title.
And Drake is sitting there in this clip, which he should have never agreed to do in the first place because that's how she gets you. I don't know, whatever. And Madonna she walks up on him, throws his head back, and then just presses her mouth against his. And it's just like this deep making out. And it's like, I could feel that Drake was trying to be a good sport about it. Because like he like reached up to like go fully into the kiss or whatever. And she like, she grabbed his hand and like swatted it away. First of all, sweetheart, if any goddamn thing, you should have allowed him to place his hands wherever part of your skull he wanted to, because who even asked you?
Right.
Like, in fact,
Why do you keep kissing on everybody?
What the fuck is wrong with you? That's how people get mono.
But bitch, don't nobody know you like that. And then the look on his face afterwards, you just know that bitch tasted like Newports and like moldy ass washcloths, because that nigga was disgusted. Like, he could barely keep himself from throwing up right there on stage. And then tried to front. Did you see that statement or whatever he put out?
Yeah, talking about, oh, you know, don't mistake my shock for disgust or whatever. I love Madonna and I'm just so glad to be up there with Britney.
Bitch, we saw you looking sick on stage, nigga.
He looked like that bitch puked Funyuns in his mouth.
Right? Like a goddamn baby bird.
Like a baby bird.
Nigga, you know you was disgusted by that shit.
Madonna needs to fucking chill. Like, she you're does. 56 or 60 or whatever the fuck years old, sweetheart. Like, when you did it with Britney, we got it. You're Madonna and she's this huge pop star. Because at the time, Britney was like... Yeah. Britney, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, and you kissed her, and everybody forgot that you kissed Christina Aguilera too. Like, mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj, Drake, like she, Miley Cyrus, keep your goddamn old ass lips to yourself, lady. What the fuck, bitch? You ain't Winifred Sanderson. Why are you trying to suck people's spirit? Sucking the life
out of the youth. That's how she stays alive and keeps herself going. That's how she regenerates. Every time she starts breaking down, she has to find a new young person to suck all the vitality out of. That bitch is not fucking slick. I see right through Madonna. But even if she wasn't like 56 or 60, because you know the Madonna stands are on. Online now, like pissed that everybody is mad because they keep or mad because everybody keeps calling her old and saying she's too old for this, and it's a shame how we discard women and all that. Like, girl, shut up, because you know you don't give one fuck about how women are treated until your fave comes up.
Can discard a fresh dick in your mouth. Because I don't give a fuck. If she was goddamn 22 years old running around here kissing everybody in the music industry in the mouth on stage, I'd be like, are you well? Like, are you okay?
Right, because who does this? Like, who really just goes around acting like this?
Why do you just keep kissing everybody? Like, we get it, but... Stop. All right.
That's enough.
Are you trying to start like a Hall of Fame or just like, oh, I choose you? What the fuck are you doing?
She's probably trying to redeem herself still, because you know I ain't seen it for that bitch ever since she called her son her nigga on Instagram. Do you remember that?
And bought him gold teeth and wore some gold teeth and then showed up looking like Leonardo DiCaprio and Django. Like, whatever.
I ain't seen it from Madonna's ass ever since then. So every time she fucks up, I'm just like, well, there go another reason not to see it for her ass.
But Madonna is like the queen of the shock pop star. You know, she's always been the one who wants to push the envelope. And she opened the door for all of the other pop stars who've been pushing the envelope. I mean, I'm sure Madonna wasn't first. But I'm just saying, like, you know, that's what she's always done. And that's why her ass was up there dancing with a whole bunch of Satans and fell off the goddamn stage. Like, she's just always doing too much. Like, we get it. You're a huge star. You don't have to do all of this weird shit. Right. You're always going to be iconic. Like, chill out.
But it seems to me that sometimes when these stars start to age and they kind of forget that they're legends, you know, Mariah has that problem real bad and Whitney did too. It's like all of a sudden when y'all hit these mid-40s or so, something happens and they start getting like a little bit nervous. Because I guess that people are going to forget about them and just resort into crazy things.
Because they always have some other young pop star that comes right behind them that everyone compares them to. That's what happens with Madonna. That's why that bitch can't stand Lady Gaga. That's why Mariah Carey shades fuck out of Ariana Grande's little two-bit ass whenever the fuck she gets a chance. That's why Lil' Kim didn't see fucking Nicki Minaj and never motherfucking will. That's what it is. Whenever they start to get old, someone who followed their recipe comes along and the younger kids live for them and the older ones are like, fuck that. I'm gonna put my pussy on top of motherfucking young Jeezy's head and here we are. We're just gonna do this. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna let Miley Cyrus dance on my dick. Like, what? Just like, alright, girl. Like,
I mean, but sweetie, to everything a season. You have made your fucking money. You have established your name. There's no chance of you going broke in this lifetime or the next. So why don't you just sit the fuck down somewhere and enjoy yourself?
Look at Cher.
Like, exactly. Go through all these stunts and shenanigans for what, girl? I'm wealthy as fuck. Like,
and you will never take that away from me.
Ever.
I can stay at the house for a solid decade and the queens will still live for me.
Right.
Like, that's what Madonna could literally just be like, well, I'm going to be at home and I'm just going to, you know, make my baby some grape Kool-Aid or whatever the fuck it is she does at her goddamn house. And that could like, be it. And it's never going to change the fact that she's Madonna and she's super
influential.
She's still
going to be iconic. Right. So why? Like,
stop trying to spread the kissing disease.
Exactly. Stop fucking with y'all's legacies. I don't get that shit.
I would have gone straight home and drank some like raw apple cider vinegar.
Bitch, when I would have gargled the fuck out of some bleach. Like, let's go on and rinse these germs the fuck out of my mouth immediately, because I just can't even imagine what Madonna smells or tastes like. Ugh.
Yuck.
Ugh.
Why would you say that?
I mean, because we really have to keep Drake lifted up in prayer.
You know, I'm sensitive about smell and taste.
Bitch, you.
And so I don't even know why you would set that up like that.
I'm just saying.
So, a lot of people have seemed to be concerned about Rihanna.
Oh, girl, do we really have to do this?
After a video popped up. I never saw this video. Maybe it was on Snapchat.
I saw it. I think it was on Instagram.
Okay. Well.
Because you know I don't know how to work no fucking Snapchat.
But the thing about it is I almost deleted Snapchat because it's nothing but literally me and like Tay and maybe 6-7 other people that I follow on there.
Okay.
And Rihanna said one day on Instagram, I'm on Snapchat. My name is Rihanna. Whatever, go follow me. And it's literally one of her like childhood friends or somebody, and probably their phone made a Snapchat account with her name and said, well, I'm just gonna record you and this is your Snapchat. And she was probably like, all right, girl, because she seems to hate it, but it's great because okay. It's so like, I just want to be like a friend of hers for the day, just like for a day. All she does is just smoke weed and listen to her own fucking music and like jam out and play with that adorable ass baby. Mm-hmm. And like eat snacks.
Yeah,
like
Rihanna's living the life.
Anyway, so they were at Coachella recently, probably for Drake, which I still think is so cute that she's just like, you know, whenever I just want some dick and I guess he's there.
Do you think that's what it is? Because it seems to me she's just at Coachella to, you know,
no, I feel ridiculous. Like she's probably just there to fuck with it. I mean, even on, no, not fuck him, like fuck with him, you know, like his friends. Because even on Snapchat, at one point, like at the first day or maybe second day of her Snapchat experience, no, the very first day that she had like joined Snapchat or whatever, she was smoking a blunt and listening to If You're Reading This It's Too Late. So I think they're just like, I don't know. They're probably just kindred spirits. I don't feel like it's a love thing.
Well, maybe they fuck every now and then.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Either way, I live for it.
Okay.
So Rihanna's at Coachella. I guess they were in like a trailer or on the bus or something. And, you know, having a good time listening to some reggae music and just... without me, but it's fine.
You seem a little pained.
So in this particular clip, she has like something in her hand, something rolled up in her hand, and she pinches her nose at one point. She's like sitting across, like whatever. And so some idiot posted this on, I guess, his Instagram and said, oh, Rihanna's caught doing cocaine and blah, blah, blah. And so this whole thing about Rihanna sniffing coke on her tour bus starts. Now, when I watched the video, of course I'm late.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched the video, it seemed to me that she had like, it looked like she had a joint in her hand.
Yeah.
I was like, unless it's like a rolled up piece of paper or something. Cause I know people.
I mean, she stayed with a joint in her hand though. So that's not a stretch.
Or a blunt, whatever. Right. But she stays smoking. So I'm like, all right, whatever. But when she pinched her nose, she pinched both sides of her nose.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
I don't know the coke protocol, so you're going to have to help me out.
Here's the thing. If Rihanna sniffs coke, it wouldn't change my personal opinion of her. Mm-hmm. Because I just assume everybody in Hollywood sniffs coke. If you are going to... if a celebrity using cocaine is going to change the way that you feel about them, then just don't get invested in any celebrity. Nelly just got pulled over and they found meth on his goddamn bus. Right. So, I mean, they're just all out here.
Meth, the preferred drug of trailer parks all across America. Nelly with meth. My nigga, you have
made... the sponsor of Orange is the New Black.
Entirely too much money to be on fucking meth, my nigga. Like, have some standards about
meth?
Yourself. Have some class.
So, all I'm saying is, like, I know people that do mm-hmm. coke. It's not my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. Never will be. I just can't get with like man-made drugs.
Yeah.
You know, and I also have a sensitivity about my nostrils.
Okay.
I don't like anything going in there. I don't like whether it is coke, poppers, fucking, I don't even like nasal sprays. I just don't like it.
Okay. So, my doctor said that you can tell when people that he, like, when he gets new patients, he asks, obviously, if they've done drugs or whatever. Yeah. And they always say no. And then when he's doing the examination, he's like, you know, when I look into your nostrils, I can see where you've done the coke. I can see where the coke has eroded all this shit up in here. Like, do you want to tell me the truth now? Because I can see your coke. It's all in here. So, like, don't even bother with the lies.
Looking like frozen in there.
I don't care if Rihanna does coke. Now, she did come out and say, bitch, you know, there ain't no goddamn coke.
I don't think she was doing cocaine, but if she was, I wouldn't give a fuck. And I just also wouldn't think that her friends being right there in such a, like it's not like she's out in public and just doing a bump, you know, on a Ferris wheel or some shit. Like, she's on, like, a bus or something with her friends. If she was doing coke, I don't feel like her friends would be recording her doing it. But either way, I don't give a shit.
That's a real New York attitude, though, for me especially, because I know, like, a few years ago when I was living in Oklahoma, I would have thought something was very wrong with you if you were doing coke, because that's just not some regular ass shit that people do. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas smoke weed, but anything other than that, it's just like, oh, girl, nah, like, I don't know. But I think being up here and being around all these godless people and everybody who just kind of does whatever the fuck they want to, and people don't give a shit about anything except being happy.
And in L.A. Well, that's like, because everyone there does it. I mean,
everyone in L.A. does come, like, everybody. But it's so commonplace to me now that when the rumors came out, it was just like, do y'all not work under the assumption that all these celebrities do coke? Because I do.
Well, the thing about
Under the assumption that everybody except Blue Ivy is on coke.
If you've never seen someone do coke, like, in person, or, like, the first time is jarring.
It is.
Like, the first time I saw somebody do coke in front of me, I was just like, oh, it was just kind of like, oh, it's just right there. Like, I was just dipped it.
Like, I was just looking around, like, the teacher's gonna walk in and you niggas are gonna be in trouble.
It's just so quick, and it's just like, I'm like, oh, all right. Well,
oh, so it just happened. Okay, well, all right, so
just like, everybody calm down. Like, it's just like, the first time I've ever seen it was a little weird, but I don't, whatever. I don't know. I get it, because cocaine is like this drug that has this, and like, people who are like serious coke heads.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a joke or anything. Like, coke can absolutely fuck your life up.
Yes.
It's not that we take it lightly. It's just that we've seen so many people do it that it's just kind of like, Like, I've seen so many niggas have unprotected sex. I mean, it's just very unhealthy.
I mean, we're just talking
about huge risk.
Things that could destroy you.
And almost everybody is addicted to one drug or the other. I tend not to give people a lot of shit unless their drug use interferes with them being able to get basic shit done. I mean, because for the most part, I have jumped from one drug to the other as far as dependency is concerned since I was like 17 years old. Going from coffee to alcohol to whatever the fuck else, you know, like, it's always one thing or the other. So I just find it, I'm really not trying to judge nobody for maybe using coke recreationally. As long as they're not out here acting a goddamn idiot like Lindsay Lohan or whatever, then girl, whatever.
Because some people be like so heavy on that coke shit, they around you and it's like they're, it's like cokeheads be acting like they're drunk and also on like 925,600 Red Bulls.
Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Did you see the way the white people acted after?
But they were like on a whole bunch of Quaaludes and all kinds of shit. I never heard. Should I have Google?
The white people were doing all kind of drugs in that movie.
But I mean, I don't know. Whatever. And the other thing I know, like the other day, like literally the day before I read this story, I was on Instagram and JoJo, who I love, posted this meme. It was of Robert Downey Jr. And it said at the top, it was like, in 2001, he was arrested for having cocaine in his system. In 2012, he's worth $85 million. And the caption said, you never know where someone's story will go. And I was like, huh, well, I feel like the common American story for a white male is cocaine and a whole bunch of money. Like, a white man being arrested for being high on coke and still being incredibly rich and having success in this country, it's not a rare story. It's
right.
A fiscal year.
That's not who the fuck posted that shit?
I don't know.
That's not unbelievable that a white man manages to succeed despite having a drug problem. The system is set up for you motherfuckers to succeed any damn way. So of course you can succeed while on drugs. It's more of a story of a white man manages to fuck himself up and then not redeem himself. Because how many opportunities have they given Robert and Charlie Sheen and all the rest of these white fuckers
to
get their
shit
together? And
they're going to do the same shit for Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber and everybody in the fuck
here.
Else.
I'm not giving you no goddamn pat on the back. Your rich
you
ass.
You saw Rihanna sniffing coke.
Girl, whatever.
Anyway.
I just don't feel no type of way. Honestly, that's one subject that I've really changed my opinion on over the past few years. As long as whatever you doing ain't hurting me, or is not, you know, entertaining to me, then I don't really give a fuck one way or the other.
Anyway, she read the fuck out of whoever that nigga was that posted that shit. And I heard that they were calling Baltimore City. Maybe he lives in Baltimore, or maybe it was Philly. I don't know. But they were, like, contacting, like, police, like the Navy. Like, oh, he's a rapist. Like, they were...
Whoa,
like,
damn!
All kinds of, like...
A rapist?
I hope not. But they were doing all kinds of shit trying to ruin that man's life.
I mean, but also, don't put up a video of somebody saying they did something if you don't know 100% for sure that they did it. Because if you can be sued, you will be. Like, that was dumb as fuck, girl. You should have thought twice about that. People not just gonna let you come out here and spread lies about them.
So, that's all for bitch you guessed it.
I'm so proud of you for not fucking screaming in my ear again, my nigga.
You never know.
No, because that shit was so wrong. No. Hey, let me just take my headphones off because I'm not fucking with you today.
Hey, you guys. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you looking for a job? The economy's heating up and there are thousands of open jobs from companies hiring near you right now. All you have to do is find them. But with so many job boards out there, it might be hard to find where to start. Well, all you gotta do is go right on down to ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can search jobs from hundreds of job boards in one place for free. Apply with just one click to the jobs you want right from ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Finding a job has never been faster. So find work in dozens of fields such as healthcare, sales, office administration, and much more.
Plus, on ZipRecruiter.com, you can get daily personalized jobs for free thanks to ZipRecruiter's intelligent job matching. Each week, people apply to 1 million jobs they found on ZipRecruiter, and now you can too. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/read to search jobs for free now. That's ZipRecruiter.com/READ. With ZipRecruiter, you're just a few clicks away from getting hired. So search jobs for free now and grab that great job before somebody else near you does at ZipRecruiter.com/read. That's ZipRecruiter.com/READ. And now let's get back to the show.
Amen. And now we're back to the goddamn show. And now we got some letters for yo.
No, all right, that was the remix.
Yeah, I don't know.
Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and let's just dive right on in this week. Our first question, I just want you to know that the subject for this email says, did I overreact? So that's the question we're
like
answering
the
today.
Is going to be yes.
Today's letter comes from Dejanay and it says, so recently... My best friend fell on hard times, and I told her she could move from New Jersey to Florida, where I live, until she can get on her feet again. Before she moved, we set up an agreement of things I approve and disapprove of in my house. I'm a hardworking woman who enjoys peace, quiet, and minding my own business, and one of the big things on my list is that there are no men allowed in my house. I live alone and I'm single, so I see it as a safety concern. And also, if I'm not getting none, nobody in my house is getting in.
Okay.
Well, that's petty, but valid. One day I went to work. I mean, girl, I'm not finished. One day I went to work and got off an hour or two early. I came home and she was laid up on my couch that I paid for, where she pays no bills, with the dude that she used the day before she moved, dressed in his t-shirt and nothing else. I went off.
What?
Yes. I went off and told her she had 30 minutes to pack her shit, wipe down my couch, vacuum my living room, clean up the bathroom, and get the fuck out. While I was screaming at her, I saw her nigga trying to creep out the door, and I told his black ass to wait because he was taking her in with him. I feel like I worked too hard for everything I have, and I didn't even have to let her in my house. She doesn't even pay any bills, and she's been calling me ever since, and I just don't want to be bothered. What would you have done in this situation, and did I go too far by kicking her out? All right, Dejanay, what do you think?
So...
What do I need to clarify for you? Because you look like you missed a couple of facts.
You know, Dejanay did always seem jealous of Penny. And the problem with that was that you didn't want it to be that way because you just want dark skin and light skin people to get along and coexist.
Yeah.
And, you know, fight the Zoes of the world, really.
Is this too much? That would you
that
kick
made
your...
No sense.
No, I mean, you was what you were saying.
No, I feel like I wouldn't have kicked her the fuck out. But if you make it clear that you didn't want no niggas in your house and she brought a nigga over there anyway, then that's a clear violation and something should have been done.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I would have gone that far.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have gone that far either. I definitely would, you know, there would have been an out cussing.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if I would have kicked her out.
Yeah, it just seems like that was maybe going a little bit too far. Like, the fact that you just kind of went off on her. And like,
told her to clean up all your shit and all that stuff.
Wipe off the couch and vacuum the living room and all. Like, girl, listen, if I'm leaving, then I'm leaving.
I'm not cleaning
before I go. Girl.
And you can wipe this shit up your good goddamn self. Because what you're doing right now is tripping. Okay, let me... Because clean up your house on top of you kicking me out, like... I know.
Like,
but,
okay, I broke the rule. Fine, you're going to kick me out. I feel like it's excessive, but whatever. That's your right. It's your
house. You have the right. I'll leave. You but can I'm not going to clean your house up before I go.
You can make up whatever monkey-ass rule you want to in your house. And there's nothing anybody can do about it but follow it or get the hell out. Like, you have that right. So I'm not even saying, like, you shouldn't have created the rule about no niggas being in your house, because you can do that. And you can have whatever justification you want for it, because it's your fucking house and don't nobody pay the bills but you.
You, my dear, Dejanay. Nobody likes a cock block. Nobody likes a cock block. And what you're being.
Well, then go get you some cock at somebody else's house.
Because, and it's not even just because if she wanted. I feel like that's essentially what it is and nothing more. You know, this is a nigga that she was dating before she moved or whatever. Like, he need to put some goddamn clothes on and respect your couch. You know what I'm saying? But to be like, oh, well, she can't have no niggas in the house because if I'm not getting no dick, then nobody can. Like, the fuck? Like,
it's petty and dumb, but it's her house. Like, you can't. It's nothing you can say to be like, oh, well, that shouldn't be your rule. Because if you want to have a stupid ass rule in your house, you can.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be your rule, but I'm saying that you clearly created this rule because you need to get some things going on.
Maybe it's been too long for you personally, girl.
And
maybe
the jealousy
you just need
is just too much.
A good dicking down, and you don't want to be reminded that other people are getting dick and you not, which again, I understand. Like, I get it.
And you know what? It's 2015. There are plenty of ways for you to get dick down without having to deal with a nigga attached to it.
Well, maybe she's not trying to get on the apps. Cause, you know.
Not the apps. I'm talking about, you know, the artificial kind.
Okay. All right. Well.
Because at least then you don't have to deal with, like, lies and you know, you ain't got to, you don't ever have to put a dildo's thumb on a touch ID.
That's true. But it's just never the same. It's just never, not like sex toys ever really replaced.
I've never used any. So
okay. So that's why you speak it so confidently. Okay, you know what? Let's not get too personal on this. So I think, you know what, ma'am? I would not have kicked her out. I definitely would have taken her to the side and been like, let me just remind you real quick about my house and how I like things done. I don't ever want to come home and see your bald ass pussy on my couch. I don't ever want to see that shit ever the fuck again. Like, but I
she
also
was
wouldn't
shot
have
out for that though. Like, that was absolutely out of line.
And you know, she like, just—it was like, you know how your mama said you get the house clean before she come home, and you thought she was gonna be home at 6, but she came home at 4:30 and beat your ass. Like, this is that situation. You thought you had some time to fuck around with your man before your roommate came home, and you didn't. So you fucked up as far as that was concerned. As far as the other friend, not the landlady, but yeah, girl, I wouldn't have kicked her out behind that. Just would have talked to her about
oh
herself.
My goodness, I bet you they just saw Dustin's play. This is Dustin's play.
Wait,
you remember in Dustin's play, oh my the girl god in, and then that ain't shit. You just need to
don't
just go see it.
See, listen, why are you
it just reminds me of Dustin's play.
All right, so good luck, Dejanay. Our next letter comes from Claire, who is a white girl. It's relevant to the question.
Okay.
You will never hear me say the N-word in conversation. This is literally her first
sentence. I would hope the fuck so.
You will never hear me say the N-word in conversation or call anyone that, black or white.
You goddamn right.
Even when my black friends try to give me permission, it is not something I'm interested in saying because I don't need anyone being hurt by my words.
You sure?
If this was the end of the letter, then there would be no issue. However, I go to a lot of rap concerts and I sing along.
The answer is no. What's
sometimes
the next one?
That includes...
The answer is no. And what
I'm
is
not
the-
even done. Gonna be accused of being racist.
I already know what Claire's ass is.
Sometimes that includes saying the N-word. I'm sure you've experienced this at concerts. How do you feel about it? I've never perceived any negative reactions from black people around me, but I've recently seen things about it online. I'm not trying to offend or hurt anyone, but it feels to me that it's silly to say white people have to censor published lyrics by artists that we love. I'm not allowed to sing along to some of my favorite artist music that I really feel. Thanks for putting out the read. I love it.
Do you really feel like a nigga, Claire? What are you talking
so
about?
So you're just going to go straight in guns blazing.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Claire wants
if
to
someone,
know.
If some rapper or any artist that I liked said a word that I was uncomfortable with as much as you tried to seem like you are with those first two sentences, then I just wouldn't say the word. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of things that rappers have said in songs that I've just been like, whoa. And I just don't repeat that part, or I may not even get light from that song. Now, I find it incredibly hard for you to find a rap song that doesn't have the word nigga in
right.
it.
Right.
However, to me to be like, oh, well, I just want to be at the motherfucking 3-6 concert, and I just want to nig along with all these other niggas. Like,
no, girl, that's not really it. And I feel like there's no point in asking us to justify for you your use of nigga, because that's essentially what you're doing. You want us to say, well, girl, we get it. You're at the rap show. You're feeling it. And this is your motherfucking song. And it's no big deal if you just, you know, sing out nigga and sway along with the crowd. But the fact of the matter is, if regardless of whether anybody around you perceives to be upset or not, you have to make sure that you're fully prepared to deal with the consequences of you saying nigga in public. Now, what you say in your own car, your own home where no one else can hear, obviously, I can't tell you yes or no, don't do it, but there are no repercussions there. If you are at a show and you say nigga and the wrong niggas around you and beat your motherfucking face in, I don't want to hear your goddamn tears. That's really all it is.
There it is.
I don't give a damn, white people, if you say nigga. We know y'all say nigga, okay? Come on, y'all invented it. We know y'all say it. But when you say it around us, you running the risk of getting your ass whooped. And I don't have no fucking sympathy for you if you do. Rap show, supermarket, bank, no matter where you are. That's really it.
Like, this is, okay, Claire, I'm going to put it like this, because I understand we got niggas in Paris and Trap Nigga, Hood Nigga, all these songs, with nigga in the title and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, Rihanna's talking about niggas and bitch better have, whatever, I get it. You still are very clear on the weight that the word carries. You claim that you don't say the word or that you don't like the word, except for when you're at a concert and the word comes up. So, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to even try and find the logic or help you come to a decision or whatever. It's your choice. If you want to say nigga at the Juicy J concert, then that is your business. Mm-hmm. Now, if a black person hears it and take offense to it, which they have the right to, mm-hmm. and they decide to step to you, you use that logic that you have and see how far it gets you.
Yeah.
If you know...
You go ahead and explain to that black person that you were just really feeling the song and that's why you said it.
Right.
And you let me know how that goes.
Saying nigga what, nigga who, when Jay-Z goes on tour again, if you know it's worth possibly getting your throat chopped, then do you.
Like, right.
I'm not the one who's going to get my ass whipped for it. So do whatever you want to do. I just don't think that it's a good idea. And I don't think that the idea of, oh, well, the rapper that I like said some really offensive shit that I'm not comfortable with, but I'm just going to say it because they said it, is stupid. That's like saying that if J. Cole jumped off a bridge, I'm going to do it too.
Right. Just
to
make sure you can assume the responsibility that comes along with saying nigga, because it's not just some free for all and you can just say whatever the fuck you want to at whatever show and people are just going to get over it. Like, make sure you're ready to accept the consequences of your actions, sweetheart. That's really it.
Right.
All right. Our last letter comes from Anonymous. So let's call him Martin. And Martin said, why?
Because this could be a letter that is terrible and I don't want it to have anything to do with Martin.
But okay,
let's name him Bussy Kitten.
Bussy. Do you know how many people cussed me out for that Bussy Cat shit last week? Like, it was my fault.
Why?
I was like, how you just gonna say Bussy Cat and keep going? Like, bitch, you know.
One year, damn. I mean,
say no shit like that. So whoever you just said, whatever name you just made up. Oh, Bussy Kitten writes, since childhood, I have been a deeply melancholic person.
Hey, how are you
there? That, coupled with my mental illness, which is OCD anxiety/depression, has made me very sensitive to some things that other people would be able to easily face. Recently, my friend's grandmother passed away, and though I knew his grandmother, we did not have a relationship. The funeral's coming up, and I'm really wearing about attending. I really want to be there for my friend in his time of mourning, but I fear this funeral may be too much for me and that being around death and sadness will trigger some feelings that are hard to bury. Am I being selfish by wanting to stay home, or is it understandable that this is a distressing situation for me? And even if it is understandable, should I still attend? I know you two will keep it real.
So this is the thing.
Bussy kitten. I actually think this may be a young lady.
I feel like we should have just named him Martin now. I feel kind of bad and ridiculous.
I mean, you, it's fine though.
I did this.
It's okay. You did.
Because I understand, like, depression. I understand, like, mental anxiety, illnesses, and that sort of thing. If you know, like, how serious it is for you, I think that there's nothing wrong with saying to your friend, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. You know, like, I think that it really may be too much for me health-wise to really bear, like, I'll be there for you, like, if you really want me to come. Like, if you really want me to...
Jesus!
No, like, if you really want for me to be there, I will absolutely, but I just want you to know, like, health-wise, like, emotional-wise, I'm not sure if that's something that I'll be able to get through. I don't think that there's anything wrong with explaining that to them. Like, unless you...
I mean, this is your best friend. It's not, like, some random associate or something like that. So you would think it was somebody who already understands that you have, you know, your own mental health issues to deal with, and you're probably not the number one person you would call on to be, like, your support system during a funeral or whatever. I think my first question would be, do you need or want me there? Like, I think that's where I would start with my friend, because some people, like, when I experience death in my family, I like to be left alone. Mm-hmm. Please, I just want to be isolated. I don't need you to check on me. I don't need nobody to sit up under me. I just want to be by my fucking self. So it may be that your friend does not even really need you to be there during the funeral or whatever else, especially if they have other family that's going to be there. Like,
right,
that could be the sort of situation where maybe they don't, like, you might be stressing yourself out about this and your friend is just like, girl, like,
right,
it's whatever anyway.
Talk to them.
Right, talk to your friend about it and be like, you know, is this something where you need me here or do you want me here? And then if they say, oh, you know, I know this is really not your thing, then you just kind of off the hook. But I feel like if you just talk to him about it, there's no reason why this has to be, like, an issue. Like, I don't think your friend wants you to be tortured and, like, at their grandmother's funeral, like, and you're just, like, distraught and can't handle it, and then you are going into an episode or whatever else.
Your friend may want to go there and be super strong, and you there having a breakdown may be, like, worse.
What knocks them down? Like,
right.
Because for me, seeing people that I love upset or crying is what makes me cry.
Same.
I can almost always not cry. Like, I can almost
I'm crying regardless, but it makes it worse.
Yeah, especially my mama. Bro, I cannot stand to see my mama cry. So, but anyway, like, stuff like this, I feel like if I were your friend, I would be like, listen, girl, I know this is not your forte and I'm cool regardless. Like, if we could just meet up after the funeral and go smoke or just talk or whatever. Like, honestly, that's what I need out of a friend. I don't really need you to be there during the actual service itself, especially because my family's gonna be there. And honestly, I would probably rather just want to be around them anyway. It's just like a personal preference. But talk to your friend about it. I feel like y'all can work this out without anybody, you know, having hurt feelings or having to put themselves through undue stress.
And make sure that you definitely look after your health and your you know, your mental state, and make sure that it is always very important to you, because you really shouldn't. Like, if you do seriously struggle with depression or anxiety and stuff like that, I don't feel like you should put yourself in positions where you know you're going to have, like, an episode or it's going to be fucked up.
Right.
If you don't have to, you know?
And if this is your closest friend, then I feel like they should understand that about you anyway. Like, it just sounds like maybe you're a little bit nervous about having the conversation, and that's understandable, but you just got to go for it and just be like, look, girl, let's talk about this now before the day of the funeral rolls around. And then I'm just like, sorry, I can't come. Like, you don't want that situation. So good luck to y'all. If you have a question, you can send it to ask3@gmail.com, and we will be right back. Hey guys, don't forget to check out our dope sponsors over at Squarespace. They are responsible for our website, thisistheread.com, and Squarespace is where you can go to create your own professional website, blog, online store, portfolio, whatever it is you need. Squarespace is simple, powerful, and beautiful. They have 24/7 support via live chat and email. It's only $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. They feature responsive design, so your website scales to look great on computers or phones. They have an e-commerce option so that you can set up your own online store. They have cover pages, and it's great for photography sites and portfolios. So again, head on over to squarespace.com and enter offer code READ to get 10% off.
Yes, that's right. You can start a trial with no credit card required. Now, how y'all feel about that? And start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code READ to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for the show. We thank Squarespace for their support. Build it beautiful with Squarespace. Right now, today, go get your life. Let them know we sent you. And let's get back to the show. So, it's time for the read now.
Oh, and this week we're doing something a little different, aren't we? This is a little different. I guess you could
say, well, it's literally what we do.
I was going to say.
Like, every week.
Actually, our reads kind of just, we always end up just talking about each other's shit all the time. So, this is pretty typical for us.
Well, I meant in the sense of talking about white people murdering blacks.
Okay. Well, yes, that too.
So, yeah, this past, I think it was Friday in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Where I'm from, actually.
Where you are?
Yeah.
Entirely from.
Mm-hmm.
They had an incident with another cop. Well, I don't even know if you would call man that.
Not a cop.
A reserve deputy by the name of Robert Bates shot an unarmed black man named Eric Harris. There's video of it, which I did not watch. Now, I would like to start this by saying, please do not take my tone or any of this the wrong way. I feel at this point accustomed to talking about police or police-like white individuals shooting unarmed black folk. Mm. So,
literally a rent-a-cop.
Literally
paid enough money to get a badge and a gun. Like,
so this story, this guy Robert Bates, they're chasing this guy Eric down, and eventually they were able to pin him down. And he's calling out taser, taser, as if he's about to tase this guy, then shoots him with an actual gun.
Yeah.
And says, oh, shit, I shot him or whatever, whatever. They have this man pinned down. He's bleeding out. He's crying, saying that he's losing his breath. And a cop with like his knee on him says, fuck your breath. Now, the man, Robert Bates, is a 73-year-old insurance executive. And I'm reading a quote, and a wealthy donor to the sheriff's department. This man is a reserved, if you don't know what a reserve deputy it is.
Oh, I know.
It is essentially someone who is not a police officer, but just has enough free time in their schedule to where they can run around with police officers and just kill niggas.
Yes.
Like, that's just, they're just allowed to just, what? Anyway.
I had no idea that this was not normal. I thought everybody's city had this, rich white people who paid enough money to get guns. This was not even surprising to me. That's the most fucked up part.
I had never heard shit like this in my life, but it was not surprising to me that if you have a certain amount of money or if you look a certain way or if you're in a certain class that you can just be like, oh, well, you know, here, I'll take a 3-hour class this week and, you know, give me a little piece of paper and a gun, and let's just start insanity. Taking out these niggers. So, that's what happened in this situation. Of course, no one's doing anything about it. They said no crime was committed and no policy violations occurred. And they even have a term called, where is it? Because this is what really gagged the fuck out of
me. God damn, I'm so sick of this.
There's a term for when a cop or someone slips and capture. A police term for when someone does one thing while believing they are doing something else in a high-stress situation. Now, that part was interesting to me because the first thing I thought when I read this is, how on earth is someone who is given the right to enforce the law.
Come on.
Running around confusing a taser with a gun. Now, I've seen all kinds of tasers. I've seen all kinds of guns. I have never once been a part of a police academy. I've never once had anything to do with the police academy. But I feel very confident in my ability to identify the differences between a taser and a gun. So if you can't do that, maybe you shouldn't have either one. Maybe you shouldn't have the freedom to run around with weapons and just be firing them. I am just so...
A 73-year-old man.
Well, there it is. Clearly, this bitch has glaucoma, cataracts, astigmatism, myopia, and rose-colored sunglasses, because that bitch can't see shit.
Don't forget racist, because racist is all up in this shit. And the fact that this police officer, not the one who did the shooting, but another one, actually had the fucking nerve to say, fuck your breath, to a dying man. Like,
so again, it just reinforces the clear evidence for me and many other people that the cop badge is the new cone white mask. It is the new pony white mask. It is literally like, I remember when I was in elementary school and kids used to tell me stories about the KKK. True stories, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when we were like in first, second grade, it was like a boogeyman story. And I remember going home and talking to my mom like about the KKK. My mom having to, her having to explain to me like, you know, well, this is the thing that happens, but we're like in South Dade. So, you know, I don't think, you know, like, but she had to like really... explain to me like what it all was, and I went back to the school with proper knowledge. But I remember the first time I heard about the KKK, I was afraid I was gonna get off the bus or come home from school and there was gonna be a burning cross in my lawn and these niggas gonna take us out. So now the kids, just their horror stories, for black ones anyway, it's not a white mask and a white robe, it's a badge.
It is.
And you wonder why you have people like Kai Peterson. Have you heard? Did you read the story on The Advocate about Kai Peterson?
Oh, Lord.
The trans man in Georgia who was raped and shot his rapist and is doing like 20 years in prison.
What?
For involuntary manslaughter.
No way.
Read the story. It is absolutely mind-blowing. We're talking, this is a black trans man who was, and I believe this was the second time that he was raped. And carried a gun around for protection, right? Was raped by some drunk guy in a trailer park. Shot this guy after his brothers came and like pulled the man off of him. Killed him. And because... I'm sorry. I got hit with emotion. Okay. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Because he is black, already knew, and on top of that, trans... already knew what time it was. Like, I can't call the police because I know they're not going to do shit for me. I'm sorry. Okay. I read this whole entire story on Advocate, and it was just, like, crazy to me that not only, like, you're talking about a man that was raped and, like, shot this guy in self-defense and still knew that nobody was going to do anything about it, so took actions and took it upon himself to take care of himself because he didn't know what else to do. And the cops came and found him, and they were lucky enough to get, like, involuntary manslaughter. And even, just read the story. It's on Advocate. But what I'm saying is...
this sounds a fucking mess.
That is, again, like, that's what we have to deal with as black people, as people of color, like... the cops don't give a fuck about us. We're talking about a whole bunch of dumbasses who never had shit in fucking high school. Nobody liked them. We're talking about people with like these just ridiculous power, like these obsessions with power. And like when Shonda Rhimes had that whole episode with the black who was shot.
Yes.
And they had that scene with the white cop who was screaming about authority. I was like, get her off. Get that bitch out of here. No one wants to hear your explanations, whitey. Like, I was just like, I'm not doing this. But that's what it is.
That's really how they feel.
Like, how dare you not respect me because I have the badge and you are a nigger. You are nobody. How you can afford a phone? Like, that's all this is. And it's just frustrating as fuck because police brutality and like the murder of innocent black people, or not even just innocent black, but unarmed black people. Because crime aside, let's say Eric Harris like punched somebody's mama at a church or whatever, like something fucking ridiculous, mm-hmm. and was on the run from the law. Like, you can name several white people who have like blown up movie theaters and like triathlons and like killed their whole families and ate them, mm-hmm. and the cops will show up and be like, are you all right, do you need a water, is there anything, well, okay, well, we've got to go down to the police station, I hate to do this,
not gonna cuff you, but if you could just come along with us, they take every precaution to make sure they take that motherfucker
and then
alive.
These motherfuckers are on the cover of Time magazine if they didn't shoot themselves first out of cowardice. Like, but we can just be running
just
from the literal monsters in this country. Them are the bitches that you need to be afraid of, not us.
Right.
Like, not us. If you so scared, you walk down the street and you see a black boy or whatever in a hoodie with some fucking candy and a juice, and you're scared of that motherfucker, imagine how the fuck he feels about your white asses and your guns and badge. Because he knows that you can shoot him square in the eye for nothing, and nobody will do anything about it.
Right. So not only do we have to worry about police brutality, we also live knowing that if something fucked up does happen to us, there's no point really in calling the police, because the justice system does not give a damn about us. And on the flip side of the same fucking cube, you have the case in South Carolina with Michael Slager, the police officer who shot and killed Walter Scott as he was running away. Listen to me. Running away is a perfectly natural reaction when you are faced with the police, because you already know you're about to die. Like, black, and I'm face to face with a police officer by myself, I'm automatically scared. Even if I ain't did shit, even if I've done everything, I'm scared as fuck, because I know how the fuck y'all are. But the thing about it, the whole thing, is that the lie that Michael Slager came up with would have just been accepted as truth, and that would have just been the end of it, had that passerby not been taking the video. And this is what we've been screaming at y'all.
And he said
for
that he was
decades.
Almost, he almost deleted it, I think.
He said he almost deleted it. First of all, he was scared and says he's still scared for his life, which I completely understand.
I would understand.
Because look at these motherfuckers. Number two, like, this man said that he gave the police every opportunity to tell the truth. He was like, he wasn't even going to leak the video. He wasn't going to put it out. He wasn't going to take it to the press. Nothing if they just didn't try to act like that Walter Scott didn't deserve it. But that's exactly what they did. They came right out and was like, oh, well, he was tussling for the taser. So, you know, I had no choice but to kill this nigga. And that's when the man was like, okay, I have to come out with this video. He went to the family, I think right after the funeral, and was like, I have something to show y'all that's gonna, you know, rock your fucking world, basically. And so that's how it got to this point. But why is it that it's always y'all's word against us? Why is it all, and not even against us, but that your word is automatic? Automatically accepted as fact.
It just cancels.
No matter what
we say,
it doesn't even matter what we say, because they are looking for reasons for the white man to be justified or vindicated every fucking time. And just like you said, like, it's not even that we're innocent or that we're all good people or whatever, but you don't kill white folks for killing other white folks. You don't even shoot and kill white people when they killed other white people.
Will walk into Galleria and set the whole shit on fire and sit there and wait for the cops to come and be like, girl, y'all have wasted all of my time. Like, what took you so long? Are the cameras here? I'm ready for my close-up. Like, white people just go around just killing people.
And it's nothing.
And wait for their time to shine. Like, the guy who was running, I don't remember his name, the guy who drove around shooting all those women and wrote like some whole story about his life
in California.
Like, what the fuck? And nobody, if they don't kill themselves, the cops just walk in there and are just like, well, you know, hey girl, if you want to come in, you can, or you can just talk about it. You know, are you okay? Was it a family thing? He's clearly not well. He's not well. It must be a mental thing.
Yeah.
Because
it's always mental illness.
A white person just walking around and shooting people in the face. It just, you know, like, we have to have a conversation about it. But a black boy could just be walking home and that nigga's got to die. So again,
it's just a lot.
I don't.
It's just a lot.
I said before we started this, like, we're going to be lighthearted and I'm not trying to be emotional,
yeah,
whatever.
That was what you said.
And I tried not to, but I thought about that story that I read that like literally like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it is just so heartbreaking that like, that we have people that could be helped and should be helped, because that is the whole point of your job, right, as an officer, is to help people that need it in these kinds of situations. But we already are conditioned to know that we can't look to these motherfuckers to help us. In fact, we don't even need to look at them at all, because if we look too long or bring too much attention to ourselves, they might just kill us.
Yeah.
So it's just really fucking, it just sucks a lot. And it's eye-opening, if it hasn't been before, then it should be, that the American police force is really just the fucking KKK, girl. Like, that's all that it is. And they're all very clearly running the streets to maintain the infrastructure of America, which is whites need to have everything and they need to always lose, and black people need to stay in their place, and if you don't like it, you're just gonna have to die. Like, that's all. It's always gonna be, we are primary and the others are secondary. And it is like the police force that really enforces that bullshit, and the white people who benefit from it, who don't, who act like they don't know, and why would you? Because you shouldn't. Like, who's telling you? Your parents?
Yeah.
No, of course they're not. You're just living your life white and everything is all the fuck right. And you don't understand why we're fucking upset. But now you're forced to, because we have social media, you've got Meerkat and Periscope and Hey Bitch, You Looking at Me or whatever these new apps are called. There's no way for you to avoid it. Like, there's no way for you to not see it. This is some shit that has been going on forever. It's not new.
Right.
Niggas are just like, okay, well,
I mean, we've been telling y'all for fucking ever. White people have just never had to listen to us, never had to believe us. And if not for these camera phones and social media, they still would not be fucking believe us. And even with the video, they will still look there and try to find a reason to justify us being murdered. When you know good and damn well, if a whole bunch of black police over the next, like, let's say 4 weeks, let's say black police officers killed unarmed white people who were posing no threat to them. Let's say they just killed, I don't know, 6 white people over the next 4 weeks. All of a sudden it would be national caucuses, and we need to fix the problem with the corrupt police department, and why are innocent Americans dying? They don't give a fuck about us.
It would be the cover of every newspaper, the war at home,
right?
Every single one. Like, I'm
what's
so
happening
sick
to America
and tired of this bullshit.
Woo, girl.
Like, it's so stupid. Child. But again, that is the beauty of the age that we're in. Like, social media gets on my last nerve, but that is probably one of the biggest benefits of it.
Yeah,
is that
absolutely,
like, now racists are literally scrambling, trying to figure out how to, like, level up their bigotry, mm-hmm, because they can't hide it.
Yeah.
It's like they're, like, literally just killing people for no reason on camera for the whole world to see, and all they can do is just be like, well, I thought I saw a gun. Well, I just, his breath, I, oh, nigga, who cares? And yeah, that's it.
And that's it.
And because that's how it's always been.
The police officer in South Carolina, Michael Slager, it was dead ass straight. It was like he saw that episode of Skinner and was like, I'm going to use that next time. Because after he killed this man who posed absolutely no threat, he went back and picked up the taser and planted it on him, just like the police officer did in that story, planted the knife on that boy. Like, it was blatant. It was just like, and can you imagine how many times they have done this and there was no camera around to prove the truth?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy for,
and we know it,
white America. It's, first of all, you have the power, you have, like, the everything, you have all of the strings, everything is at your command. It's easy as fuck to take that word over someone else's word when there's nothing else. Like,
right,
there's no proof, there's no one there recording it or nothing. Like, think of all of the black people who have died at the hands of police, and them niggas have gotten away with it. And furthermore, people have believed all of the bullshit that the
right
police officers say about us and all of this shit, because we black, and of course they had crack, of course he had a gun, of course he had a knife on him,
of course
he had a taser, of course he tried to fight me for my weapon, of course all of that shit. They just believe it because you are a white police officer and they black, and that's the goddamn end of it. But oh, now bitches got the gram, and we're coming for that ass.
Absolutely. I want all these black kids to have free smartphones with internet access, and I want every single one of them to be taping this. Do you know in Texas, I don't know where at, I hope this is not a state law, maybe in Houston, but somewhere in Texas they're trying to set up a law or get some bill passed where it's illegal to videotape officers within like 10 feet or some shit. We see right through y'all's bullshit. So now you want it to be illegal to videotape public servants at work?
Do.
I'm sure y'all do. So that all of your crooked bullshit won't be on display for the whole fucking world to see. Do y'all know how goddamn embarrassing you are?
Guess what? We're not going to take it. We are not going to take it. Shit, I was going to finish it up, but I'm not going
to. No, but shit is about to get very real. Like, and I just, if social media is good for anything, if you have to reach for one good thing about all these fucking apps,
it's
the
snitching.
Exposure of this police brutality, I think, is worth all the bullshit. For
That's
the,
right.
For the truth to be coming out about these fucking police officers and how goddamn racist they are. And the fact that y'all are scrambling to justify this shit. Like, Michael Slager's attorney, I really wonder what kind of defense you're going to come up with to justify your client shooting a man who posed no threat and then planning evidence. Like, planning, trying, deliberately setting up this lie.
That's why I didn't even say boo when they were talking about he was charged with murder. I was like, let me know when you go on ahead and lock that bitch up, give him a conviction or whatever the fuck, because I already know that they're over there thinking, they're calling the rioters of the haves and have nots in General Hospital to come up with whatever fucking excuses of why he did that shit. And they could I am so confident that they could walk into a courtroom and their defense could literally be a piece of paper in an envelope that says, oh well, in the middle of it. Like, they could literally open up a piece of paper and just,
it was just
like
a nigga.
Times New Roman 12, oh well, and that will be all they need,
right?
Like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Like, how it could just be right. Some bullshit, and I totally see them walking in there and just be like, oh, who gives a fuck. Well, case dismissed. Like, that's America.
But did you see his bail hearing? He had to go before a black judge. That was particularly delicious for me.
I didn't see that. I didn't watch the video.
Haven't seen the video. I can't do that. But I have been keeping up with the case otherwise, because I really want them to do the fucking right thing
here. I hope they do.
They've already taken the death penalty off the table for him, which I think is unfortunate. I feel like Walter Scott's family should be able to execute that man the same way he executed their family member. But
I agree.
He's facing 30 years to life in prison, and I hope he gets...
That's it?
Listen, if convicted, 30 years to life, which is probably as good as we're going to get, honestly. And I feel like people right now are being like, well, damn, do you want something more? Hell yes. I want him dead. I want him fucking like, dead. Allow me. I will pull the trigger and go to sleep at night. I sure the fuck will, because I have no problem getting rid of one more racist.
Peterson in Georgia has to serve 15, 20 years in jail for shooting a man that raped him. I want this bitch to get 7 back-to-back lives want him in jail for this life and the next and those that follow.
Like, literally every single day of the rest of your existence, I want you up under the fucking jail. If there are teachers in Georgia who can get 7 years in prison and 13 years of probation for helping kids cheat on a test or changing test scores or whatever the fuck. Did you hear about this scandal?
Mm-mm.
I heard about the story when it first broke last year, but this judge, like, completely just went beyond what anybody could expect to be a rational sentence. And it's putting these people in prison for years behind this bullshit. And it's just like, how does this happen? How do y'all continuously do this to us and then nothing happens to y'all? Like, nothing. So I really want Michael Slager fucking dead. But if he's not going to die, I want his ass in jail forever. I do. I want it.
As well as ever. Like, I want him in there for the rest of fucking time. If nothing else but to be a shining example, like, make an example out of this man and say, look, we are recognizing that shit's fucked up and it's been fucked up forever, and the only reason we're killing y'all is because we want more for us. Like,
right.
I'm surprised white people haven't just gone and, like, invaded South America and just taken that shit too, and just, like, I don't know, taking Tokyo, like, it's really shiny over there. I'm surprised white people ain't just been stealing more damn, like, lands. They are, we don't know.
Well, shit, who knows? I just know that this shit right here, y'all might as well get ready for the change, because it's coming.
And these kids, look, 16-year-old Amanda Stenberg at the top of this. She already knows that Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus are out here with some bullshit. She already understands. Like, I'm telling you, we need to be talking to these children. And we need to be letting them know. White, black, indigo, I don't give a fuck. Kids need to understand. They need to have an understanding of what is going on in the world and that this is some bullshit. And all of that fucking willful ignorance shit needs to stop. All these white people talking about the way to end racism. racism is to stop talking about it, please shut up. Maybe you should stop talking about it. Because if a Bengal tiger walks into this studio right now, I can't say to you, Crystal, let's just not talk about it, and bitch, then maybe it'll go away. Bitch. If that bitch wants to eat our asses alive, that's exactly what it's going to do. There's no way to not... Ending racism right. is not going to happen by just, like, acting as if it doesn't... Anyway.
And it's not our job to end racism. We didn't start it. Bitch, you end it. This is your fucking problem. You invented this. You created this problem. Y'all fix it. You white people with common fucking sense, you have to talk to your racist ass friends and relatives. They're not going to listen to us, and you know it.
Happen.
They're not going to fucking listen to us. Your white asses are going to have, you white liberals who swear that you're for progression and you want equality and all this bullshit, you're going to have to be the one to talk to your racist ass grandpa who donates thousands of dollars to the police force and has a fucking gun. So you're going to have to be the one to have these conversations, bitches, on y'all shit. Everything. How you going to put it on black people to fix the problem that white people created? Oh, just free yourselves from racism.
And it will never happen because you know what? This is the last thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
If every person of color, racists, left this country and it was nothing but white people in America, y'all would just kill each other. They would literally like... It would be like, I don't know, like what are animals, like goldfish or some animals that just like eat each other until one's left. I don't know. I can't think of one.
Betta fish?
Whatever.
Something like that.
It would literally just become this whole like struggle for power and all of that. Because I just feel like it's naturally ingrained in that racist mind that everything is mine and you are not deserving of it because I'm better than you because look at me and my white. Like, girl, not today, you're not. Not today, you won't.
All right. So I think that wraps up another episode of The Read. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter at This Is The Read and check out our website, thisistheread.com.
Where
you
we're can editing see... out my Eon, let's fix my life moment.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, it was very real. Nobody's taking that out. I'm not telling them to take that out. And you're not going to be awake in the morning, so I'm going to be the one to approve the show. And it's going to go up. And people are going to hear it because it was real and it was good.
So, whatever.
Do you have any announcements this week?
Yes, Mortal Kombat X is amazing.
Girl, what?
So, Sindel isn't in it, but I really feel like Sindel is going to be DLC at some point. Either way, Sonya Blade is sickening. Shout out to Jackie Briggs, who is Jax's daughter. Actually, you're going to play Mortal Kombat with me sometime soon, but Jackie is like a black character. She's got cornrows, and she is badass. Combos for days. Either way, all of my nerd friends out there, I'm getting my life. Mortal Kombat is amazing. I almost didn't make it today because of just can't get away from it.
I'm so glad you're having fun with that.
Real announcements though.
Okay. Because you know I don't. Whatever.
Facebook, Twitter.
I literally just did that.
Instagram.
Oh yeah, we do have an Instagram now that somebody is updating. You can follow us on Instagram at This Is The Read. And
The Green Experiment on YouTube.
Yes, so on and such forth. Also, you can see a list of our upcoming live shows at thereadlive.com or thisistheread.com to see where we'll be next and if we'll be in your city. I think that's all I have.
Why don't they go to... They need to go someplace and start suggesting dates. We've got, like, proposed dates for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm interested in seeing if there's maybe a city that we haven't done that a lot of people would like for us to come out to.
Okay.
That's, I think, the mode that we're on right now. But other than that, I don't think that we have any.
So I think maybe just email us or tweet us or comment on Facebook or whatever if you'd like us to come near a city and we'll see, you know, maybe
hashtag
some places.
Hashtag bring the read.
Okay, there you go.
Hashtag bring the read. Bring the read.
Yeah, hashtag bring the read and then put your city, put a space, and then put your city, girl.
Yeah, because
you
got a space. You have to put
the city. Because we just need to track all the responses, and then we'll just...
Because that's how a hashtag works when you click on it.
Yeah.
So it has to be separate from the hashtag, the city name.
But all of y'all don't... Some people will put, like, bring the read Houston, but then some of y'all will put, like, H-Town, somebody will spell it wrong. Like
the city.
Right, so we're just going to tell you guys...
hashtag bring the read.
Okay, yes. All right, that is what we're telling... Yes.
You know,
separate them, girl. Just so y'all know how to work the internet.
I think
do you have an acronym for this week or nah?
Because
I'm good. I'm ready to go home and get in the damn bed, honestly.
How does the world... Do you want to share your good news?
Yes, I have my own apartment now.
Woo!
I live all by my damn self.
How's that feeling when you come home from work?
Bitch, and it's just like, it's phenomenal. When I come home and it's like, oh, hey, girl. Oh, actually, nobody's here.
Actually, psych, because I'm alone.
I'm going to just go ahead and cut on all the lights because I fucking can't. I'm going to cook whatever I want to and turn my music up at an ignorant-ass volume and go to bed whenever I feel like it and get up and nobody will be in the shower or in the bathroom or watching something I don't like because nobody lives there but me. It is fucking phenomenal. And I had this experience, you know, in my 20s, and I just forgot how dope it is to live by your goddamn self.
And right around the corner from me.
Yes, and we're just in time for the literally summer. Two blocks apart from each other.
It was 70 degrees today.
Bitch, I know it. And I was stuck inside at work all day, but it looked nice from, you know, the inside.
Well, I think my acronym this week is going to be DY. NAMT.
Do you nomad Arkansas?
You were so close. I knew you were going to
Trelawney.
Do you need?
You are. I fucking hate you.
Do you need a mammy titty? What is wrong with you?
Listen, that is what Iyanla did on that program. I didn't make that up.
I'm going home.